everybody. Welcome back to Sales is King. This is Dan Sixsmith. How are you doing? It's been a little while, but we're excited to be back. And we've got some brand new research we're going to be talking about today from Mary Shea and the team at MediaFly, talking about what the high-performing revenue teams are doing that the lower ones are not. And there's some really eye-opening new information that I'm excited to get into. And I'm also testing out a new podcast platform and video platform called Podcastle. And I'm down here in my bunker in our house. If you can see me, I'm not in my usual studio, but since we're doing an evening recording here, so I'm excited to get into this with you. And let's just jump into it. This is just chock full of great information. The first thing that comes to mind here is number one, you know, we're talking about the difficulty of the macro economy, how things have changed quite a bit with rising interest rates. You've got layoffs, you've got inflation, you've got shrinking budgets, right? You've got, you know, the net result is that selling is more difficult than ever before. And I've actually, you know, talked about this in my blog. And if you haven't gotten that, it's the blog called Value Stories that we publish out on LinkedIn. We're about 13 or 14 editions in there. So definitely give that a read. But, you know, selling is getting more difficult. Managing revenue teams is getting more difficult. And it's tricky, you know. And I'm just going to start powering through some of this great information. Number one, 75% of the organizations are spending $1 million or more annually on sales tech stacks, right? And in some cases, 67% of leaders indicate that they're actively planning to redeploy headcount savings to invest in innovative sales tech. So think about it. How important is sales technology? Companies are even talking about moving people out of the organization to be able to redeploy those funds into sales technology. And one of the big things we're hearing is that there's just so much, there's so many tools today. And it's just this, one of my buyers that I spoke to this week said it's like death by technology. There's just so many different solutions, right? None of it speaks to each other. And it's really, really hard to manage. But I'm really excited to dig in and see what these top revenue teams are doing to stay ahead of the curve today in 2023. So let's just think about now, where is some of this seller headcount dollars going? 80% said it's going to enhancing sales and revenue enablement. 77% said it is going to innovative sales technologies that drive efficiencies and effectiveness. 74% is redeploying into external sales training. And 72% are looking for tools with embedded generative AI. Very, very interesting. And in terms of who is involved in this study, 60% are millennials and Gen Z, 40% Gen Z and baby boomers. So think about this now. You know, the younger set is 60% of this survey and of the buying community today. So you've really got to kind of understand how these people think. And it's different than some of us that may be boomers or Gen Xers. And we've, you know, we've published a number of different podcast episodes on this, and you can go back and check them out. But you remember, you know, a few of them, culture is extremely important. What the company stands for is extremely important, right? You know, different things about concern about the environment, what the company stands for, all these things are going to be very important. But the number one I remember was, does the culture match up with the buyer and the buyer's company? So let's keep powering through this. You know, basically, you know, one of the key findings of the study is that data and content are two of the key levers that are driving success today for revenue teams, for top performing revenue teams. You know, and the key is how do we get, right? Because think about it. Now we're learning that the average buyer only spends 5% of the buyer's journey with a seller. You know, so what does that tell us? Number one, it tells us that the content that we put out there has to be first rate and engaging and impactful. And secondly, you know, the content we use when we finally engage as a seller needs to be, again, engaging and impactful. Certainly, you know, as sellers, we need to be able to make the most of these conversations. But the content is what's really driving and what has been driving a lot of the engagement. So the next thing starts to look at some of the paradigm shifts. Number one, sales enablement, that term is really going away. According to Peter Ostro of Forrester, most everyone now is moving over to the term revenue enablement. And we're defining revenue enablement as a comprehensive program to empower all revenue generating teams and systems, not just direct sellers, to drive growth. It involves organizing and distributing relevant content, leveraging data and analytics to gain actionable insights, analyzing sales conversations, adopting value-based selling techniques, and enhancing seller skills. So that's a pretty wide ranging definition, and I'm going to go through it again, the key elements of revenue enablement. Organizing and distributing relevant content, number one. Number two, leveraging data and analytics to gain actionable insights. Number three, analyzing sales conversations. Number four, adopting value-based selling techniques. And number five, enhancing seller skills. So this is the Mary Shea-led definitions of revenue enablement, which I think is very, very on target based on what we're seeing out there today in B2B. Next. These high-performing revenue organizations are really enabling their entire revenue team. The high performers enabled account managers better than the low performers. It was 41% of high-performing organizations enabled their account managers versus only 31% in the low-performing organizations. For the sales engineers, 46% of the high performers enabled their sales engineers, while only 28% of the low performing companies were able to do that. Customer success, 46% versus 33%. Marketing, 41% versus 33%. The other great point that comes out, and this is something we've written about in the Value Stories blogs, you know, customer experience, immersive experiences. We wrote the article about U2 at the Sphere in Las Vegas. I think that was edition number 14. But, you know, companies are expecting these Netflix-like, Hulu-like experiences that we see in consumer marketing. They don't want to see vanilla. They don't want to see, you know, charts and graphs and boredom. They want to be engaged, right? Just like what we call the weekend experience, the Disneys and the Hulus and the Maxes, right? All of those are immersive and engaging experiences. And they want that same content, right? 77% of companies that use direct one-to-one personalization observed a noticeable increase in market share, right? One-to-one personalization, that was another thing we've written about, but also multi-channel and immersive experiences, very similar to what's going on in consumer marketing today. Using insights actionable insights has always been important and continues to be important. Other key points, 80% of B2B buyers expect the same buying experience as B2C customers. Okay, 80%, not 30%, not 51%, but 80% of B2B buyers are looking for the same type of experience as a B2C customer would. So that's raising the bar, folks, in B2B. That's raising the bar. Like, they don't want to see, like I said, vanilla charts and graphs, Salesforce, you know. They want to see interactivity, motion graphics, video, rich content, right? You know, and eventually we're going to get to augmented reality and some of these other, you know, interesting experiences that we're seeing in B2C. 77% of the high-performing companies are using one-to-one personalization as a way to increase market share, right? We've been hearing this for a long time, but now it's really getting to the point where it's almost table stakes. But buyers want one-to-one personalized experiences. They want to know what's in it for them. They don't want generic, and they don't want vanilla, and they don't want stuff that's regurgitating the website. It's as simple as that. Super great stuff here. I'm just going through. I printed out this great report. Content. You know, let's get into content, right? Content is considered to be the 12th player in winning deals. Again, the report reiterates that only 5% of a buyer's time is spent with sellers. Only 5%. 55% of buyers are overloaded with the content that they receive, right? So we think about, you know, number one, how much bad content is out there, right? And, you know, how do we differentiate? How do we stand out? How do we deliver a personalized experience with engaging content? And that's going to be the key foundational component of this whole report, really. You know, so how do reps quickly access the right content, modify it, share it, right? How do marketers make sure that this content is up to date and most relevant? How can these sellers quickly pivot, right, to sell to and talk to the particular persona and offer up the type of content that they're going to find engaging, right? So this is definitely a big key going forward. So the report goes on to talk about some of the top five challenges that they're seeing with content in the revenue enablement arena. Number one, the sellers spend too much time creating and personalizing content. Too much time creating and personalizing content. Number two, our sales content is outdated. Number three, we cannot govern our content to ensure brand and regulatory compliance. Number four, we don't have the insights we need to understand what content or which content works best and when. And lastly, our sellers send content that differs from our brand. So, you know, it's evident that the content game is evolving. It needs a lot of work, but the reality is, you know, we've got to get it right. You know, we have got to get it right. And there's a tremendous advantage to those companies that do get it right. So we walk through, here's some additional pieces of information here. The top challenges with content management. We walked through this before. This is great. This is just showing graphically what we just talked about. So for revenue leaders to, so in other words, like, so what should we do about it, right? So for revenue leaders to really be able to maximize the impact of their content and turn more of these conversations into wins, there are some recommendations made by the MediaFly Group. Number one is invest in a scalable content management solution, right? Number two, reduce friction with collaborative digital sales rooms. And number three, track content engagement and impact. So let's dig into this a little bit. So a scalable content management solution has got to be one that enforces brand consistency and compliance, right? But also provides the seller and the buyer with, again, an immersive experience. And what's going to happen here is that this is going to drive more adoption from your sellers, more engagement from the buyers, which all leads to, and if you think, if we go back to consumer marketing, the more time a consumer spends on a website, the more money they are likely to spend. So time equals money in consumer marketing, and the same thing holds true here in B2B. Next, personalized digital sales rooms where all materials can be shared and stored for every buyer stakeholder, which is going to provide a modern and seamless experience, right? Digitally oriented buyers are quickly becoming the primary place, these digital sales rooms, right? Buyer and sellers collaborating in these digital sales rooms. And Gartner believes by 2026, 30% of all B2B sales cycles will be run primarily through these digital sales rooms. And, you know, we talked about this in one of our prior episodes when we talked about co-creating value, right? And this is really one of the great things that you can do in a digital sales room is co-create and work together on, you know, putting together the right solution with the buyer. You know, a much more collaborative experience versus, you know, an RFP or just think about, you know, hurling stuff over the wall, you know, and trying to hope that, you know, you've got the right content that sticks. The buyer takes more of a role, right? And they're going to be more committed to working with you and the solution that they help craft, right? So that's going to be very, very, very important going forward. And then tracking, like, how do we know which content performs, right? You've got to know. When we use this piece of content, we win 40% of the time, right? And we also might know that only a small percentage of our team is actually using that content. So that's content we want to promote. Now, is there content that a lot of our folks are using but is not moving the needle? This type of data, this behavioral data and analytics is going to be key to give you the content advantage, to give your team the ability to leverage content successfully to win more business. And I might do this podcast in a couple of different parts, I think, because there's so much good stuff here. And I want you all to make sure you digest this. So I think we're going to call this part one. And then we'll come back next week with part two. But let me go through a little bit more here. As we're talking about unified CRM data, right? Certainly now, you know, 49% said that different teams within the organization use different sources of data. Forrester's seller activity data found that reps spent only 23.3% of their time on core selling engagement activities. Administrative tasks such as manually inputting data into the CRMs is one of the biggest time wasters reps face. only 23.3% of their time is spent on selling activities. And I think that's one of the biggest things today that's making selling more difficult. And I think this number is absolutely down from what we've heard over in the last several studies over the last number of years. So sellers are spending less time in the key functions of selling. So how do we make their life easier? How do we give them the ability to streamline some of these data sources so that they can A, leverage some of this data as insights, and then B, just have a much more streamlined and seamless approach to being able to leverage data effectively and not spend so much time just rummaging through all these different solutions, and that you have greater data congruence and cleanliness when you think about it. So this is it. So high performing companies automatically collect and upload activity data. 58% of the high performers do it, and only 38% compared to the low performers. Very, very interesting. Only 44% of companies today currently use data and insight-driven processes to understand pipeline health and forecasting. So there is a tremendous data challenge. We're shifting over a little bit to data now, but there's a tremendous data challenge for revenue teams to be able to, you know, leverage this and get the right and most accurate data and leverage it to be able to predict future success. And not only that, but to be able to help sellers navigate these different deals, right? So there's a myriad of data sources which can inform coaching activities, right? And that's another big one that's going to be part of this study as we go forward. Conversational intelligence, coaching, right? How do we coach reps and sales engineers and others, customer success managers? How do we coach them leveraging data, right? How do we close the skills gap? How do we optimize these strategies? So these CI tools are going to be extremely important going forward. Now, in talking about CI, high performers, again, relatively low across the board, but the high performers, 30% of the high performers were using conversational intelligence versus only 20% of the low performers. So they're 10% more likely to use conversational intelligence to better understand the buyers, the competitive dynamics, and the effectiveness of the sellers. Because ultimately, when we think about this, and I wrote about it this week, haven't put it out yet, but, you know, the quota attainment numbers are not great. You know, they're going down. So how do we get, and by the way, no, I did publish that. I'm thinking of another one, but we did publish it this week on how to architect a high-performing sales organization. But, you know, we need to coach and train. We need to know, you know, how and where and why we can up-level our sellers. And how do we get that middle tier up into the top tier? And just the importance of these CI tools. So you're going to need these CI tools, right? Because they're going to centralize revenue data in one repository. You know, it's going to automatically collect data, right, to inform best practices. And it's going to capture conversations and powerful insights, and it's going to help with coaching. So I'm going to stop here at chapter 4. This is a phenomenal report. I think it goes, not sure how many chapters it goes into. It's probably got another 4 or 5 chapters. So let's come back to this next week, but super powerful information here. big changes going on in B2B. Certainly the stakes are higher. We talked about a lot of very interesting things in terms of the experience that buyers are looking for, what's needed today from revenue leaders in order to really continue to be or to move into a high performance category, content, data, conversational intelligence, personalization, messaging, storytelling, immersive experiences. All these things are key and not necessarily things that all B2B companies are doing. So I'm really excited about this. Congratulations to Mary Shea and the MediaFly team for coming out with this. We're going to dig in a little bit more next week into some of these other key components of the top performing revenue companies. And until then, we will talk to you soon. Peace, everybody.